And we're back. Welcome to Please Excuse My Tone, episode 8. It's been 8 already, guys?
It's been 8.
Oh my gosh, man.
Welcome fast. He didn't say woo today.
All right. Y'all told me I need to cut out the Ric Flair nonsense. All right, so I'm trying to do a new thing today, turn over a new leaf, all right? As usual, I am one of your three hosts, Brandon Lessie. To my left,
Justin Defoe.
And to his left,
Akeem Thompson.
One name today.
One name.
Shocker. No guests today, but I do have a special shout out to Daniel and Eli for coming out last week, doing their thing. And before I blast them on their horrible March Madness picks, I just wanted to tell them thank you. All right? All right, but let's get into it right now. March Madness. Last week, we recorded a little bit early and weren't able to have the official brackets. This week we have the brackets, we fill them out, and we're going to go over our Final Four, not just our champions. Now, a few of us here, Final Four has already been busted, but yours truly right here has the Final Four for the ages, all right?
For the ages.
For the ages.
I don't know about all that.
For the ages, all right? So, my Final Four right now is Kansas, Arizona, Duke, in North Carolina, and I have Duke and North Carolina playing in a championship match where the Blue Devils will take it all. All right? My four are still alive. Let's go to Akeem first, and we'll deal with the guy who's champion. died yesterday? Yeah. We'll get to him next.
All right, so my final four, I got Villanova, Gonzaga, Kansas, and Kentucky. And, of course, Villanova lost, so they're not in it. But I had them losing in the Final Four anyway, so I'm still okay for my championship round.
Justin?
I'm over this bracket, so. I'll be honest with you, my Final Four was Villanova, Notre Dame, Kansas, Kentucky. Obviously, Villanova lost to Wisconsin 65-62 yesterday.
Notre who?
And Notre Dame got punched by West Virginia 83-71. So, I'm over the brackets.
Let me ask you something. Would you have been picking those picks if you had money on the line? Because you took a lot of risk in your bracket. I won't lie.
I definitely took a lot of risks. But no, I would not have made those picks.
All right. I'm gonna give you some time because you know you've been talking about this one team, and you've been talking about them since before the tournament started. I'm not really sure why you didn't pick him in your Final Four. So I'm going to give you some time to shout him out and give you some credit for that pick. Because I followed your pick and I got them going to the Elite Eight, I believe.
Yes. Obviously, Michigan, man. They had that airplane scare. They played really well against Purdue, winning. So, you know, those were my picks. But I thought, you know, when they faced a monster in terms of like Kansas, Michigan, it was either two teams if they win today that were gonna beat them. But Michigan, man, y'all have been playing really well, and I wouldn't be surprised if y'all make it to the four. To be honest with you,
the Wolverines from Ann Arbor. I mean, yeah, I thought they looked pretty good too, and I picked them. I have them going pretty far, but definitely not in my Final Four. But they look good. They look good. Now, let me just shout out Wichita State because
shout outs today.
It, who else? Oh, you're right. It's already three. We're 3 minutes in.
Shout out a minute.
So, Wichita State, man, I was hoping to pick up some points and having you beat Kentucky. I thought you want revenge for that 2014 loss. Was probably the best game I've watched in college ball ever. Love that game. And y'all couldn't do it again today. And my bracket, even though my Final Four is together, is barely holding on. All right, so.
Dude, were you guys surprised when Middle Tennessee won?
Yes.
I was too.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people were talking about them as a sleeper, but
they weren't my sleeper. So Middle Tennessee, who are they? But hey, they got a win, so congratulations to them. All right, yeah. I'm going to give you guys, my champion's still alive, but I'll give you guys a chance if y'all want to pick a new champion.
My champion's still alive too.
Oh, sorry, Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Barely won today. Wichita, you let me down.
You know, I probably would have to side between Akeem and Brandon in terms of Kentucky versus Duke.
Listen, we don't have any more room for your brother. We don't have any more room for your brother.
I'll go with Akeem with Kentucky.
Oh my God, nobody. Okay, I'm gonna ride with Coach
Akeem. Wildcats is out here.
He wins gold rings, gold rings, gold medals. He wins championships.
Coaches don't win medals in the Olympics, just so you know.
I'm aware of that, but he coaches the team to get a goal.
But he doesn't win it.
Okay, all right.
Change the players win it.
Okay, all right. Oh, okay. Something I think that needs to be changed in the Olympics, okay?
But, I agree.
But watch Xavier beats Arizona, all right? Guys, watch
out. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it.
You know what?
Stop it.
You know what? Watch out, man. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Stop it. Arizona's in the Final Four to stop it.
Watch out for you. For you.
Your bracket about to bust.
My bracket's already busted. My Final Four is holding it together. Yeah. All right. I know Justin's not talking. He only got 2 out of 4 left.
Agreed. I'm done with the brackets, guys.
Moving on. We're gonna go into the well. This is still college basketball, kinda. This guy LeVar Ball, running his mouth again. It's just getting crazy, man.
Oh my gosh.
He's funny to me, but I think he's putting too much of a microscope on Lonzo Ball right now. Like, UCLA, well, Lonzo has to play out of his mind during this whole tournament.
He does.
Before he gets some negative scrutiny against him. And I think he's putting too much pressure on LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball. They're only in high school, and their father's talking all this stuff about a $1 billion shoe deal for the three of them combined and all this stuff. Like, what if they don't pan out? What if they're not even good in college?
That's the major issue. Well, let me talk about your first point real quick about putting pressure on Lonzo Ball. I think not only puts pressure on him, but when he goes out and he has to play against other point guards, against other schools in this tournament, you don't think they hear his father, LaVar Ball, talking his nonsense? You don't think that they want to show out against this guy?
Exactly.
Embarrass him on purpose, show that he's really not that big. The hype is just hype. So, you know, it's not pressure on Lonzo Ball, and then it makes it more difficult for him. And why would you want to do that? Why do you want to... Doing that affects your son's draft stock if he doesn't play well.
I think it doesn't affect the draft stock still. The promoting for me, he's just promoting. To be honest with you, it's not a hype. He's balling.
Is there such a thing as too much promotion, though? Too much publicity?
Honestly, yes. Sometimes it's too much, but to be honest with you, it's all a part of selling your brand. I think that's what he's doing. Yes, it's overwhelming, but when have you seen these situations? You know, I think he's a great father. He's done a terrific job. I don't necessarily think it puts any pressure on his children. You know,
You don't think it puts pressure on them when they gotta go?
He's not going out there to perform.
They gotta cash in
all those checks that his mouth is writing.
So y'all think, you know, his sons are hypes?
That's not
what I'm saying.
I don't know. I'm not going to say they're hype, but I'm saying that it puts a lot of pressure on them. And what that does, especially with Lonzo Ball being in the tournament right now, is that it can show someone that maybe it is hype. Because if he has this pressure and he doesn't perform how he's supposed to, or his opponent and the point guard that he has to check or that's checking him is like, I'm going to come out and embarrass this guy because his father's talking crazy. They think he's so nice. I'm going to show I'm better than this guy. I need to be drafted high, too.
Exactly.
That raises the level of competition for me. I understand where you guys are coming from.
It does, but it's also the reverse. It might not work out well, and that's where I come to in terms of draft prospects. It's not about him talking. It's about it affecting Lonzo Ball's performance in this tournament where his draft stock might not be as high.
To be honest with you, I don't even think his children are even listening to his noise. And my thing is, and if they are, I think it's more of, you know, putting some empowerment in them. Like, yo, this is where I need you to get
they
to.
They have to be listening to it because Lonzo Ball has been asked plenty of occasions about his father and his comments. So they have to be listening to something.
Understood, but I think it's just raising a level. Like, this is what I expect of you. Excellence. I don't see it as something that's out of control.
I think he's really... This is hyperbole, man.
Do you guys think that he's just doing it for himself at this point?
I mean, I know... I do. I think that he enjoys being in the spotlight.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to sell this Big Baller brand.
Yeah.
He's trying to promote that. I think he does believe in his kids, but you can't tell me it's
different. I think he believes in his kids, but I think at this point, he's just trying to get his 15 seconds of fame.
A little bit of self-centeredness.
Yeah.
For sure. Listen, the $1 billion contract... It sounded crazy when he first said it, but it's not as crazy as you may think if all three sons pan out.
Yeah.
If they're all superstars, then that actually is a great deal for any of the major sneaker companies because that's actually getting them on the cheap, three of them under a $1 billion contract. Now, the stupid nonsense he's talking about how he could have beat Jordan 1-on-1 back in his day, That's to me is more the self-centeredness of him being in the spotlight.
That's what I was talking about.
And you know
what he said about when Charles Barkley challenged him 1-on-1.
Exactly. All this nonsense. Let me just go over his stats real quick. LaVar Ball stats. 87-88. He played for Washington State. He averaged 2.2 points and 2.3 rebounds a game. All right. He only played college basketball that 1 year. He transferred after in search for more playing time. Never received it. Now, let me just give you a comparison, because Michael Jordan was in the league that year. In the league, 87-88, Michael Jordan was averaging 35 points a game for the Bulls. That's in the NBA. So just to give you a little comparison point and to really show you how crazy it is to come out here and say that he would have been killing Michael Jordan 1-on-1 back in his day. All right?
Now, on to the NBA topics. How do you guys feel about Larry Sanders signing with the Cavs?
I think it shows how desperate the Cavs are for a big man.
Wow, that's some big talk there, bro.
Exactly.
I also feel like Larry Sanders is weak for that. I feel like he's just jumping on the bandwagon. Like, you saw your opportunity, and you jumped on it real quick. But you were so quick to retire when you were like the guy in Milwaukee. That you want to retire and leave the league and, oh, this is not for me and all that. But now you see a championship team that needs a big man, and you're like, oh, let me put my goggles back on. They don't need you, bro. You're trash.
Wow.
Okay. Jay, you want to go? You want me to go?
I'm going to go. That was amazing start off by my man that came over. I personally think it's a great opportunity for him. Obviously, he's been out of the league for 2 years. His numbers weren't really great. He was a role player. He was great on the blocks, rebounds. He didn't really dominate the stats like that. To me, he wasn't really the number one option in Milwaukee when he was there. So I think it's a great opportunity to kind of rejuvenate his career. He's still somewhat young. He had a issue with the weed, as Stephen A. says it, all right? So I think it's just a refocus. I don't necessarily think he jumped on the bandwagon. Like you said, he's a bum, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a rejuvenation for his career. I'm looking for next year. But personally, I think he's going to help him on the blocks. And blocks, they needed a big man, and it was a perfect pickup.
Before you go, Brandon, let me clarify why I said he was weak. Because Cleveland's team is pretty much somewhat the same as they were last year, right?
Right.
So why didn't he work out before and then come on in the beginning of the season? And now as soon as Andrew Bogut goes down, Let me see if I still got it. Okay. Let me suit up.
Now one. Nah, he was working out. They worked him out before they picked up Andrew. Right? That's corny to me. It's corny to you, but
I gotta agree with the team though. It is corny because he left the Bucks and he left like 27 million on the table to retire early because he had to go find himself. Fine, okay, that's fine. You came back. I thought if you come back, you would show some loyalty to the Milwaukee Bucks and go there. They could use someone of his talent on that team right now. You telling me he can't be the starting center for the Milwaukee Bucks right now? Yeah, he's not an offensive presence, but rebounds, defense, help defense, all that stuff. He was there. He's athletic. He catches alley-oops.
He was that guy in Milwaukee at the time.
Exactly. They could have you can't tell me that Giannis can't use a guy like that. Exactly. And you put him there with Giannis, the athleticism and the length you have there, Jabari Parker, Middleton, Henderson, Rodman, Henderson. Milwaukee. They're trying to build a team that could sustain, talent. Of course, because it's difficult to get guys to come into Milwaukee, but they're trying to sustain a level of excellence that they can show, and that they haven't showed since maybe Big Dog Sam Cassell and Ray Allen days.
They're already athletic, man. I think they've completely replaced them. I think Henderson does a great job.
I wouldn't say they completely replaced them, but I mean, they have done a good job in trying to replace them, especially with the Thon Maker draft pick this year.
He's a step up.
I'm seeing what he's going to turn into, because he does have some offensive
games. Agreed.
In terms of what Akeem said about it was a weak move, I do agree with that. I agree that it was a weak move because obviously it's not a money grab because they don't have cap room to sign him to big money.
Yeah.
He went there specifically to try and win a ring. Why is now winning a ring so important to you? It wasn't important to you before. What's behind this?
Why is it important with a little over a month left in the season?
Look, I'm not Sanders.
I understand. I will say this. I don't think he's going to be helping out as much as I thought Andrew Bogut would have helped out.
Because, I agree.
First of all, he hasn't played a game in, 3-4 years?
Mm-hmm. 2 years, yeah.
No, it's more than 2 years. It's only 2 years?
Yeah, he retired after 14-15.
All right, well, that 2 years, That's a long time not to play an NBA game, and he's not the facilitator that I think Andrew Bogut is at the center position. Defensively, he's going to help Tristan Thompson at the five. We saw what DeMarcus Cousins was doing to him early in the year. They needed some help with the center position, but I'm not sure how big of a help he's going to be because you have to put Tristan Thompson in the game because he's such a good offensive rebounder. So we'll see what happens, but right now they sent him down to the Canton Charge D-League to work out down there. So, you know, spot and see how he looks down there and see his progression.
It's for next year.
No, it's definitely for this year, bro, for sure. But I'm not sure how much of a big, much more of a help it is for their championship.
I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't on the team next year.
I wouldn't be surprised at that either.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't make the playoff roster if he doesn't look good in the D League, to be honest.
Agreed.
Okay, on to the NFL. Yes, some NFL topics today. Let's talk about one great defensive end in DeMarcus Ware. And with his retirement earlier this week, what do you guys think that means for the Broncos, first of all? And do you guys think that he is a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes. First ballot Hall of Famer for sure. I think it hurts the Broncos. Not big time because they still have a strong defense, but it definitely hurts them.
Jay? Are you kidding me? You just lost one of the best pass rushers in the game. I agree with Akeem too as well. I think they're affected a little bit, but not as much.
First ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yeah, I have him first ballot Hall of Fame. I'm just going to read some of his stats real quick. 634 tackles, career tackles, 138.5 career sacks, 34 forced fumbles. All right, those are definitely Hall of Fame numbers, and this guy was great teammate, great chemistry guy, came into work every day, and I think he's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer also. Now, in terms of the Broncos, last year he had 15 tackles and 4 sacks. Now, I know he was injured for a little bit last year also, so his numbers will be a little bit screwed because of that. The game is missed, but losing that edge, because it was Von Miller on one side and him on the other, losing that side, I don't know if it's going to drastically hurt their defense, but I'm not sure if they're going to really be locking up the way we're used to seeing them locking up. Because I don't really know who they're going to get to fill that position. Maybe they go into the draft. Maybe they look to sign somebody. But it might affect them. But honestly, if they don't get a quarterback, they're not going to do anything this year anyway. So, Tony Romo, take a fly on him, man.
that guy, Tony Romo, I don't know where he's going. Sticking with football, Darrell Revis, he got cleared of all his charges. He was arrested in Pittsburgh, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. In Pittsburgh for 2 counts of aggravated assault, 1 count of robbery, 1 count of conspiracy, and 1 misdemeanor for making terroristic threats.
Woo!
That's a lot. I'm happy everything got cleared. He's not doing any jail time. I think he's not doing any jail time because he's Darrell Revis. I'm going to be honest. But,
The video is out. It didn't sound like Darrell Revis. And you and I are Jets fans. We've known Darrell Revis his whole career in New York. That's just not his MO. That's not the guy he is. So to hear a story like this, it was like, huh?
Yeah. But a lot of people don't seem to be the way they are in the NFL. And then you see something shocking.
True.
No one thought Ray Rice was capable of thumping down his wife.
Not a laughing matter. This is funny the way you said it. But we saw
what happened there.
Agreed. That's a great point because no one ever thought that Ray Rice was a exactly.
Now Darrell, there's 2 words you have to say. Thank you, Rashawn Bolton, your best friend. All right, for taking the fall for you, bro. Taking the fall. Now I'm not saying I agree. Ten seasons.
How you know it really wasn't this guy that he really wasn't the guy.
I agree with you guys. 10 seasons in an NFL, no issues. I think they were simply having fun, and they were, you know, antagonized. You got to thank your best friend, bro. He took the fall.
As Darrell Rivers is probably one of my favorite players of all time. Definitely have his jersey. So as a Jets fan, I would really like to see maybe if the Jets look into bringing him back and work on him moving to the safety position. As we saw once upon a time, Champ Bailey moved to the safety position and was able to extend his career.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. You think he gets signed by anybody? I think it would be a joke if the Jets sign him back, to be honest.
Agreed.
I don't think. The Jets are a joke, so this is
It'll be the Jets being the Jets.
It'll be fine with me because I just believe in what he could do. But does he get time by anyone else? Is he open? He seemed willing to be able to move to the second position before. Is he going to be willing to do that for somebody else? We'll see. I'm not sure, though.
Personally, if Giants could pick him up as a safety.
I'd be very much interested.
No.
Why does it always have to be back to the Giants?
Well, it looks like everybody's going from the Jets to the Giants because aren't the Giants, checking out Geno?
First of all, Geno's on the Giants now.
They signed his bum ass already. You can have him. All right. I don't approve of the Brandon Marshall signing. You can't have him. Stop. And if you get Darrell Revis, you will be dead to me if you go.
Come on, Revis.
Geno's a smart man though. He signed to do nothing pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you know Eli's not going down. Pause.
But don't jinx him.
I'm not jinxing him. Eli does not get injured. He's the Iron Man of the NFL, man.
The new Iron Man.
So let's stay on the Jets. They're having a little quarterback situation, and some of the candidates they're looking at is Colin.
We always have a little quarterback exactly. situation.
Colin Kaepernick, Jay Cutler, Robert Griffin III, and a few other quarterbacks. What do you guys think about the situation?
Akeem, you want to go first, bro?
I'll go first. I know I'm a Jets fan, but I don't have no problem talking about their bum behinds.
Oh, my God.
They're trash. And I don't think they need to sign any of them.
These are our prospects, bro? These three people?
Exactly. They're wasting time if they're going to sign any of them because they're not going to help them do anything. They need to start over. They're going into rebuild mode. So why sign one of these guys to get you, what, 7 wins? Just go into full tank mode.
They gotta start tanking like the Lakers now, man. It's over. I mean, Jay Cutler... Bum. We saw it in Denver. We definitely got enough of it in Chicago. Ask Mike Wilbon. All right. Robert Griffin III. As much as I still have faith in this guy,
I don't. No, he should have stuck the track.
No, he's not it. And Colin Kaepernick, the only guy I don't mind them looking into. This is a guy who went to the Super Bowl. This is a guy we know can't produce, but I'm a little bit worried since he become vegan about his weight. Is the way he likes to play and the way he likes to run around, is his weight going to be an issue? Because the lack of it and him getting hit with running around being a scrambling quarterback, you're going to be prone to injury. But if they were going to look into anyone out of these three, Colin Kaepernick, I would say, but to be honest, no.
You have two
young quarterbacks on the roster.
Yep, that's what I'm
use one of these guys, see what they could do, exactly. And see if you need to draft a quarterback next year. Because
exactly,
for sure, we're going to have a top 2-3 draft pick next year.
Here's my thing. I agree with Brandon 100%. The closest thing, maybe this is a fan move. Personally, the pick I like is Kaepernick, but my thing is if you pick up Kaepernick, you keep your pieces and not let everybody that you did go. And maybe you have an opportunity. I believe in Colin Kaepernick way more than RG3.
And Jay Cutler.
Yes, I agree.
I also just want to see Colin get picked up because it looked like he's being blackballed for his stand on the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit ridiculous, but it'd be nice to see someone pick him up because... He still looked good. 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year.
Agreed.
When he finally started to start, he can still play. Put something around him, see what he could do.
But do they have anybody to put around him?
Well, I'm just talking about a team in general. The Jets, they're in tank mode.
They're in tank mode, exactly. They should have never released anybody and then pick him up.
Yeah,
personally.
They're in tank mode.
Yeah, if they didn't do that, then I would have said, yeah, for sure, pick up one of these three.
And y'all are definitely a playoff team. Because y'all defense
it's no point.
If you think Colin Kaepernick can be your starter or your guy really basically to hold the fort down until you draft somebody, and then maybe could be a very good backup, maybe that might be the
fan move for me.
The route to go. That's an idea. Right.
I don't like that idea.
All right, let's move back into the NBA, and let's talk about an issue that has been an issue for, I guess, last couple of years since Greg Popovich started doing it a lot. And that is, does the NBA have a problem with resting stars, especially during national televised games? Now, the reason this topic came up is because last night was supposed to be a big Saturday 8:30 game on ABC. Cavaliers versus the Clippers, and LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love, the big three for Cleveland, all sat out with rest. Ty Lue decided to sit them out. Now, obviously, they lost. I think they got spanked. Something like that. Not just in front of me. But when I checked, I didn't even watch it. I didn't want to watch the game because what am I watching the game for without those guys playing? Even if it was just one of them not playing, I would have tuned in. But all three, ridiculous. What am I? I'm tuning in to watch Iman Shumpert? Tristan Thompson? Richard Jefferson? Maybe back in New Jersey Nets days, maybe I'd have tuned in for RJ, but not now. But it to me, it's an issue. I'm not really sure how Adam Silver is going to deal with it. I'm not really sure if he can deal with it. But at least for the nationally televised games, I think he needs to put his foot down and say that you can't rest team players in the nationally televised games. We've seen Greg Popovich do it during TNT Thursday games. We've seen Steve Kerr do it. We've seen Ty Lue do it during ABC games. I don't like it, man.
I'm going to answer your question first, and then I'm going to tell you my opinion. Does the NBA have a problem with it? I don't think so. Because they're still getting their money. They're still getting their millions. These nationally televised games, people are still watching. They're watching even though they're upset. So
Are they? Because did you tune in last night?
No, I didn't.
Justin, did you tune in last night?
No.
I can tell you, I was in my house watching Scandal with my mother on demand. So I wasn't tuning in.
But the average fan is still going to watch. And all those people in the stands, they're still there. Their money's gone already.
Yeah, but this is for the future, because those TV contract deals are for a certain amount of time. They're going to end. Are you going to be getting that big money if the ratings aren't showing that you deserve that big money?
So
that's one. Two, fans bring in the revenue no matter if it's from TV. Let's talk about tickets. Let's talk about merchandise. These kind of things affect that. It may not affect it a lot, but it's moving the bar somewhere, and it's something you got to look into. Because as big of a basketball fans as we are, NBA fans as we are, none of us tuned into that game that was supposed to be a good. If those three had played, would you have tried to tune in last night?
You possibly. Have an
answer? Would you
possibly.
Try to tune in last
possibly.
Night?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Okay, but when you heard those, when you got that Bleacher Report that they weren't playing,
I was like, there's no point.
Thank you. And if that's what it is for big NBA fans, what is it for the casual fan?
Here's my take. I don't necessarily, it has a little effect on the NBA brand a little bit. For me, it's more of a network issue. They probably have to talk to, you know, work out a deal with the NBA, but to me, it doesn't hurt the NBA. The networks are still going to get their money when it comes around playoff time. The games are going to be great. All the superstars will be playing. Trust and believe. Yes. I think it does hurt the ticket sales simply because as a fan, if I bought a ticket expecting this team to be there and the Cavs and Clippers only play twice a year and I bought my ticket to see LeBron, Kyrie, and Love, I'd be highly upset, but I agree with it.
How does it hurt the ticket sales then?
Because if you get scorned by that experience.
Yeah. Fans need to... Yeah.
It doesn't hurt the ticket sales for that particular game, though.
We're talking about future. It doesn't hurt the TV money right now because the contract's signed. It hurts future money.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys are taking this stand on it, but I think it's something needs to be done. I think it's ridiculous.
No. That was my point for the NBA not liking the NBA, if they like it or...
But you feel like something needs to be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hate this thing because it hurts the fan experience, like you guys were saying. It doesn't help anything. It doesn't help anybody. Like, I'm not coming here to see the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th player on the bench. I'm coming here to see the stars, the ones that's in the starting lineup every night in, night out.
Especially with there not being as much competitive games as we would like to see in the NBA. When you see two top four teams scheduled for a national televised game, you want to see that. So Cleveland, LA Clippers, Golden State Clippers, OKC Spurs. You want to see these games, and when you go into and you tune into these games and you see Kawhi's not playing, Russell Westbrook. I'm not even saying Westbrook, because Russell Westbrook plays every flipping game. Just gonna put that out there. MVP talk, if y'all hear me. Hashtag.
Here's a question, guys. Is it a stand on the players? It seems like the players want to play. Iggy, you know, spoke out about it. You know, Steph spoke out about it. Some of these players, LeBron, some of these players, you know, spoke out about it. Like, they want to play, but they're not going to undermine their coach. You think it's an issue, a coach issue, or a player's issue?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, LeBron James sitting out, I don't like it. I can understand it with the amount of minutes that he's played over the last 6 years and the heavy minutes he's putting on this season. I can understand it. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. You guys are in their mid-20s, man. What are you talking about? They need to rest? They can't play 82 games?
That's why I don't think it's a player issue. I think it's a coach issue.
Kevin Love just came back. What are you talking about? He's resting this game? He just rested for eight weeks, man. Yeah. Get on there and get your game body and your game endurance back. Get out of here with this nonsense, man.
Yeah, I think it's a major coach issue with that.
I will say this about Popovich, too. I understand what he's doing with Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker. I get that. I just don't appreciate you sitting out players during nationally televised games that I'm tuning in because those are the games they put out that are supposed to be amazing games. I'm tuning in to see that. I shouldn't have to wait all the way till April to see a competitive game when the playoffs start. Ridiculous.
I feel like the coaches should, if you're going to sit your players, sit them out on your
sit them out when you play the Phoenix Suns, man.
Yeah, exactly.
When you play the Brooklyn Nets.
A lackluster team.
Home games.
Yeah.
When you play the Brooklyn Nets.
I think it should only be home games, and I think it should be against bum teams. Like the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, you're Brooklyn Nets,
but
Justin.
They're still going to get a win, so I'm not.
or the New York Knicks. They suck, too.
All right, someone's highly upset.
But yeah, it should only be a home game where fans is watching TV on your local Fox Sports channel.
Can't be away games. Okay, I agree with
no
that.
No away games. And
The reason why I say that the question, does the NBA have a problem? Because the only way the problem is going to be fixed is if the NBA does something about it, if Adam Silver does something about it. Because the coaches aren't going to change anything, because especially someone like Ty Lue, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, these are people whose main goal is to win a championship, and they have a championship team, and they have the window in between that they have to go get a championship. So they're only worried about winning rings. They're not worried about one game out of 82 in the regular season. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to change their tactics. So unless it comes out from Adam Silver, I don't think we're going to see a change. And that's why I believe that the NBA does have a problem, because they're the only ones that could fix it. It's their problem.
You got a solution?
I do.
What is it?
I like the solution you all said. I like that home games against bum teams, because more than likely, 98% of the time, those games are not going to be nationally televised games.
Mm-hmm.
And nationally televised games is where you get the casual fan. They might tune in because it's on ABC, it's on TNT, it's on ESPN, it's on these big networks. They're going to tune into these games because they're like, oh, this is a big game. Or someone else might say, yo, come over, watch this game. It's a big game. And when you don't have the stars, because the NBA is a star league, if you don't have the stars playing that game,
agreed.
It's an issue, man.
And it's on in bars. The TV's always, you know, any restaurants, things of that sort. So
it's affecting the money revenue, but it's affecting their fan base. And you're competing with the NFL, and the NFL is abusing everybody. And you're trying to compete with them. You better try your hardest to stay close to what they're doing.
But the NFL is also 16 games. So
I think the team should be fined.
It's not going to do anything. A lot. How much money are you talking about?
A lot.
What's a lot?
Definitely over $1 million.
Oh, that's not going to affect them, man.
I think it would.
A fine?
Because yeah. Think about it. If let's say Ty Lue, his incident was the most recent last night. Let's say he chooses 5 or 6 games to rest his players, right?
Mm-hmm.
He decides it in preseason. He looks over this regular season. He's like, I'm gonna rest these guys here. Are you saying $1 million for every player that's rested, or $1 million for resting players?
That's not a bad statement.
Players,
$1 million for every player that's rested.
Yeah.
Because I understand that Adam Silver works for the owners, but if he tells the owners that, and it's not even the owner's decision to rest the players, trust and believe, them owners are going to go to that coach and say, listen, you're losing my money. I need my money to stay here.
Or pick some days where I don't mind losing that money.
I mean, if you do it $1 million a player.
Right,
well, so I also don't think that would work because I think that would spread out when the players.
But let's say he decided to rest Kyrie, Kevin Love, and LeBron for 6 games. That's $3 million a game, 6 games, $18 million. What's that to a billionaire, man? What's that to Mark Cuban? What's that to Dan Gilbert? In terms of winning a championship, because the revenue you bring in from winning a championship,
yeah,
getting your team the championship,
yeah,
so make it
what's
more.
$18 million?
Make it more.
Is it gonna get approved? That's
make,
what I'm saying. I just
it,
I don't think
it
needs
to be a person.
I don't think it needs to be a punishment. I think it needs to be like, yo, you can't. The rule is you cannot rest players on national televised games. You can only rest players, against when you're playing teams that are 20 games under 500 or less.
Thank God we're not commissioners, guys.
They would hate us. They would hate us.
I could be a commissioner too, but they would hate me. All right, on to the next topic.
Staying in the NBA, we're gonna talk about My favorite West Coast team.
Let's get it.
The LA Lakers, the Lake Show. Now they're trash.
Mama, we miss you.
They've been trash for a few years now, but they're going into full tank mode. And guess what? I have no problem with it. Absolutely none. Cause they're still gonna be the Lakers. The Knicks and the Lakers are two of the worst teams in the NBA. But they're still the two highest selling teams.
Let me just interrupt you right there. Don't try to put the Knicks and the Lakers in the same category.
I'm gonna put my two favorite teams in the same category
because the Knicks are historically a bum ass franchise. All
right. Okay, but are they both bad right now?
Right, right. Well, so I didn't hear you say right now. I didn't. Okay, hear, now. I want. Let me hear that right now. Okay. For me.
Sorry. I apologize. The Knicks and Lakers are both bad right now.
Thank you.
But guess what? People still go into those games.
Now, here's my issue, which is interesting. I respect the Lakers. I'm not a Lakers fan.
We know.
My Knicks are my Knicks. The difference is intelligence. And Lakers are tanking, but still working on their young core. Whereas Knicks are playing Melo and some of these guys that are veterans, but they're still losing.
They don't have a young core.
Exactly. They don't have a choice.
Well, it's called.
What young core do they have?
Kristaps Porzingis.
That's it.
One guy.
You know, Hernandez. Agreed.
Don't bring up bum names.
Fair enough. So
you want to see what Ron Baker could do?
In terms of the tanking rating, I'm giving, you know, the Lakers a 10. And Knicks, you just get a 2.
I will say if the original front office and president were there, I would say this is stupid. Only because in the offseason, you went out and signed Timothy Mozgov to a 4-year, $64 million deal. And you signed Luol Deng to another 4-year, $72 million deal. But since the Lakers cleared house, and now it's Magic running the show, I'm not going to hold them for the mistakes of the past front office and saying that you don't sign these guys to big contracts like that. I don't care how big the cap is now. You don't sign these guys to big contracts like that and then ask them to sit down for the rest of the season. What are you doing? Wasting money to tank. I don't get it. But new regime. I like it. I think it's good. You guys see what these young players could do. I still don't know what D'Angelo Russell could do. I have hopes that he can be a left-handed Steph Curry, but I don't know. Julius Randle, he has a couple of triple-doubles. What's he going to do, though? Jordan Clarkson, do I give this guy another contract? Do I move him? All right. Brandon Ingram, no idea what he does. Oh
my God. Starting to look a lot better.
Yeah, he's having an okay March. Still have no clue what he's going to be because at that weight, he's not going to be anyone. I'm sorry. I don't care how close this game looks, it resembles Durant's game. I just don't care. So I like the move. Also, let's not forget that, you know, if they don't get that top three pick, that pick's going to Phoenix Suns. So I get the tanking. I get killing two birds with one stone, seeing what these young players could do, and also making sure you get that top three pick because you need it. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it for now. Magic, lead the way, man. Lead the way, brother.
We believe in you, Irvin.
Lead the way, brother. All right.
On to this. Still in the NBA, this past couple weeks, LaMarcus Aldridge was out with a heart arrhythmia issue. He missed only 2 games. Do you guys think the Spurs are back in terms of favorite to take the West?
I don't think they ever left. Like I said last week, in Big Deal, Little Deal.
Which was just crazy talk.
I said it was a little deal for the Spurs. I said it was a big deal for LaMarcus, but a little deal for the Spurs.
So not that it's not relevant now, but losing a guy that's averaging 17 and 9 boards is not a big deal. Who's going to replace that?
The Spurs are a team, man. They're the definition of a team.
Listen. Yes, they're the definition of a team, but you can't win rings without some type of personnel. And I'm sorry, filling LaMarcus Aldridge's position with David Lee is not, you're not the same team you were with LaMarcus Aldridge in that starting lineup. I'm sorry.
I just believed in them, man.
I know.
I still do believe in them.
They're back to, right now, they are, yeah, I'm going to have to say they're my favorites for the West only because of the way they're run. Greg Popovich has his team running on all cylinders. They're healthy now, and they have to be the favorites. And without Kevin Durant having a real time for coming back from this MCL sprain, I'm not really sure I could put Golden State there because without them, they look horrible. And I'm going to be honest. You know what? I'll get to that. I have a surprise question for you. So we got that in a sec with Kevin Durant. But they don't look strong. I don't think they come out the rest of Kevin Durant doesn't come back. I have Houston there making a little noise. The game that the Spurs and Houston played, that was a great game. Great block by Kawhi. And I think Houston could give them a run for their money, but I'm going to have to go with Spurs being my favorite to come out the West with LaMarcus coming back. Happy he's good. Because indefinitely didn't sound good.
I'm going to have to sign my man Akeem over here.
Really? With what?
Spurs.
We all agree that the Spurs are here.
The high definition. Yeah, agreed.
But out indefinitely didn't sound good, man.
Out indefinitely didn't sound good. I'm happy that LaMarcus is good. This has been an issue for him since his rookie year. Portland Trailblazers. So I thought he was a great professional in terms of handling the situation, listening to the doctors. And when they said he was ready to go, he said, I'm good. Spurs, definition of just an amazing team. So for me, it's all about seeding.
Question, did you agree? It is about seeding because we've seen when they didn't go up for that last win, what, 2 years ago and drop all the way to the seventh spot and got the business against the Clippers and they could have used home court there. Did you agree with Keem that with LA being out, if he was out, that they would still be your favorites for to come out of the West? You agree with that? Because I don't. Keem
wasn't I wouldn't. But. You know, the odds. Agreed. The odds, I wouldn't say favorite. I think they would be maybe 2-3 in consideration, but they were still going to be a force. I just, in terms of champion.
I don't know.
Western Conference champion? I don't know. You still, like Brandon said, you still got to deal with the Clippers at their full. They're getting better. Mm-hmm. Blake is looking better.
You still got to deal with Houston.
Houston, agreed.
Can't count Memphis.
Agreed. And I'm not necessarily counting out Golden State.
Either. No, I'm counting out Golden State without Kevin Durant. And that's...
Well, agreed. Without Kevin Durant.
That's going to get into our surprise topic today. Is Kevin Durant making... Last week we talked about MVPs. And we mentioned LeBron James. No, I'm not leaving with LeBron. We mentioned Russell Westbrook. Thank you, Leo, the correct person. James Harden, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Isaiah Thomas. Is Kevin Durant's absence and how Golden State is struggling to do anything defensively or offensively during the games that Kevin Durant's been out with this grade 2 MCL sprain, is he making a case with his absence for MVP this year?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I had a question similar to that too. And I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Because he was the best player on that team, hands down. And now he's gone, and everybody sees Golden State is not the way they were last year, the year before. He's a big impact on that team.
And everybody's saying, oh, Steve Curtis has to go back to how they were playing before. But it seems to be easier said than done because he's not able to do that.
Exactly. So I was going to ask you guys, is Kevin Durant being slighted for being on Golden State?
No, not for being on Golden State, but for going to Golden State in the manner that he did.
I get what you're saying.
There was no way that he was going to, him or, obviously Steph Curry was not winning MVP because he already has this unanimous MVP from last year. There's no way he's going to be also the first player to have 3 MVPs in a row. That's ridiculous. Wasn't going to happen. Didn't even have to think about that. Knew that wasn't going to happen. But because of how Kevin Durant, what he did and how he did it and going to that team that was 73-9 last year, I think we all had in our heads, especially in my head, that he wasn't going to be MVP this year no matter what. I didn't care. I don't care what happened. He could have been dropping 40. I don't care. I'm not voting for him. You're not getting his vote this year.
Honestly, I guess he could be in the consideration. To me, he's not necessarily MVP. You have three other all-stars. Personally,
Actually, five of those guys are all-stars this year.
Agreed. Personally, you just see to me how much key of a player he is to the team, but also of a lack of a bench of for the Golden State Warriors, which they showed the previous two seasons.
Well, I mean, that's...
So for me, that's the impact. The lack of bench. But personally, I felt like they beat the teams they were supposed to beat. Yes, they were struggling a little bit against, you know, Sixers and a couple other teams.
They were down by 16 in the fourth quarter, bro.
Agreed.
If Steph Curry doesn't have a miracle shooting night in that fourth, I don't know if they beat the Sixers that game. That was a whole game. That was a home game?
Away game.
That was a away game.
Okay. Jay, I agree with you. Kevin Durant's going to get some votes. I think he is. I think he is making a case. He's just not going to win the award. There's no way he wins the award. But it's interesting to see how someone's MVP stock rises in their absence of playing due to injury. It's very interesting to see that. But there is no way he wins the award. He's not going to win the award. There's no way. No one. He's going to get some votes, though. I'll give him that. But I thought it was an interesting question because it's very interesting to see how bad Golden State looks. But as I was telling you guys, especially Justin, when we were talking in the summer after Durant signed, I think after the big celebration and the amazement and the shock of him actually signing with Golden State, when we actually looked at what they lost, it was like, is this team going to be better? And offensively, when he's playing it, they look great, but we haven't really seen them in a grind-out series. How are they going to look then? Because they lost all three of the big men, Spates, Bogut, and Festus Ezeli. They lost Leandro Barbosa. So it's like, and then you replace these guys with who? Zaza Pachulia? David West? They got the guy Ian Clark coming off the bench now as their backup point guard. He's decent.
Shaq and the Fool Hall of Famer.
Shaq and the Fool legend, Tragic Bronson. So you know, with losing the bench players you had last 2 years, and then not having the guys to really bring you up or keep your play as elevated as it is when you suffer a big injury like the Kevin Durant loss, I think it's affecting them. And Steph Curry and Klay Thompson look like they depend on Durant so much this year for their shots being more open than usual, that now with everything shut down and with people not guarding Draymond Green, because he could shoot that all, that's where you shoot that all day, brother. I'm not guarding you this year. With that going on, I think the floor has shrunk and they suck without Kevin Durant, man. They're not a championship team without that guy.
Agreed.
So if he doesn't come back, or if he comes back late in the playoffs, they're gonna get knocked out, man. I'm sorry. I am sorry. But let's go Spurs. Let's go Houston, man. Let's go Houston to get to the championship, and let's go Russell Westbrook MVP. All right.
Russell's my MVP for sure.
Justin, don't think about it because we talked about this earlier this week, and you said Russell Westbrook's your MVP now. Okay.
If he gets to 5, he's my MVP.
Okay. All right.
If they get to the 5th, he's my MVP.
That's Kawhi. You know why you got dropped? Because you lost a horrible game to Portland this week. All right.
I don't mind that loss.
What?
I don't mind that loss.
No, you don't lose. You don't lose to Portland, man.
Portland's supposed to be a playoff team.
No, they weren't. Last year was an anomaly, bro. Stop it. This anomaly's not gonna happen again. And that team thought they were something. They went and invest money unnecessarily because they didn't realize that they're still in rebuilding mode, even though they had a really nice.
And Azili has not played a game for them yet.
But he's making money. Anyway, we're at the end of our show. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for liking our page. Please remember, we are on iTunes. Again, repeat. We are on iTunes. Subscribe to us and please excuse my tone. You just type it in. You'll find us. Nice picture of 3 handsome young men. Little title name under it.
Talk about it.
Little quote, sports talk. It's kind of our thing. So look for us there and tune in to us next week. Hope to have another great show for you, all right? Thanks again, man.
More life.
Later.
Hey, hashtags.